Well, good morning and welcome to Osage Baptist Church. Happy Easter to everyone. Thank you for inviting us into your home and allowing us to celebrate Easter in this unique way. But I saw a sign this morning on Facebook that said, "The church building is empty, but so is the grave." Amen. The resurrection is no less true even in this crisis. Let us pray. Lord, I pray this morning, this Easter, for every church across our country that's unable to meet physically. But I pray that we would all come together as one church and one spirit to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray that this season will make us all realize just how much we love others and how important the work of the church really is. Just pray that you continue to use Osage Baptist Church to minister to those in need. Give us encouragement. Give us peace. We pray for our country and our leaders. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. All take your hymns, books. 533, an old great song on this Easter morning. He lives. One, two, three.
Good morning, Osage. Good morning, teens. I sent out a video Friday for you teenagers, encouraged you to read some scripture, listen to a song, you know, as we observed Good Friday. And, you know, on Friday, Peter was asleep. Judas had betrayed him. Mary was crying. Hope was lost. Death had won. Satan was laughing, and Jesus was buried, and a soldier stood guard. A large rock was rolled into place. But Sunday's here now. He's risen. All right? It is Easter. We have something to celebrate. So, you know, for Easter, for a lot of people, you know, it means the Easter bunny. It means candy. Family get-togethers. Everybody and their mama, you know, gets together and you eat. And, you know, pastel colors. It's a lot of different things for a lot of people. But, you know, those things, they seem empty if you think about the real meaning of Easter. You know, when you think of the word empty, empty lots of times is a bad thing. You know, when your gas tank's empty, your refrigerator's empty, your coffee cup's empty, your wallet's empty, your bank account's empty, you go to the store and the gift card's empty. You know, empty seems to be a bad thing, but not on this day. Empty is good. All right? Jesus was crucified, buried in a tomb, and a stone was set in front of it. You know, you can read in Luke 24, verses 1 through 8, you can, you know, read about where he was put into the tomb, and whenever Mary and they went early Sunday morning to find him. And, you know, empty is also proof that, you know, you see in Mark 8:31, Jesus told his disciples this was going to happen. He said, I will be crucified and I will rise on the third day. With that tomb being empty, that's just proof. I mean, that, you know, that Jesus is who he says he is. And, you know, but we also remember empty is very powerful. Because Jesus died and he rose again, Jesus has power over sin's greatest weapon, which is death. All right, Jesus conquered that. He don't have to worry about it. Jesus gives us life, and you know, and the greatest thing is, empty is permanent. Jesus wasn't in that tomb on the third day. He isn't there today, and you know, he never will be. He's alive. We got to remember that. And so remember that empty is a good thing. And when we decide to follow him instead of following our own selfish acts and desires, we too can begin to really live. You know, I listened to a thing on Max Lucado just this morning, and talking about the coronavirus and everything. And you know, he said, I don't know if this will be our last invitation or not. With all that's going on, he said, I can't say it is, but I can't say it ain't. So, on this Easter Sunday, if you don't know Christ, please, it's time. Because he is risen, he lives for us, and he loves you with all his heart. So, till we meet again, we love you guys and praying for each one of you.
Good morning and happy Easter. He is risen and the tomb is empty. Awana kids, how'd you do on your verse last week? It was Joshua 1:9, and it said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So this week's verse is Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through selfless ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Simply put, that means put others first. Think of others before you think of yourself. Choose what God wants instead of what you want. The verses are going to be posted on Facebook each week. If you memorize it, have your parents comment on that post with your name and the date you passed it. This is on your honor, so do it like you know you're supposed to. I love you, but more importantly, God loves you. He is risen and he is alive. He wants to be your friend and live with you forever. Will you let him? I love you. Happy Easter.
We've got a few prayer requests I need to mention this morning. Continue to reach out to Pam Dishrun with any of your requests and make those known. This is a praying church, and all of us who've been here very long would attest to that and have seen answered prayers through this church's prayers. So please reach out to Pam or any of us with your requests and make them known so we can be in prayer for you. Marlene Webb's brother, Kenneth, is recovering from cancer surgery, and he's in Rogers. The family's not able to be with him at this time, so that's going to be a challenge for them. Just pray for that family. Sheila Robinette's co-worker, Mary Head, her mother passed away. Just be in prayer for that family. We may not know them personally, but we can definitely pray for people and their families as they suffer tragedy. I'm encouraged in this church's generosity and the way that people love to give generously. And this church operates on that. Without that, this church does not really is not able to fulfill the duties of a church. But we now have the ability to give and receive donations online. On the website, osagebaptistchurch.org, we're now able to receive donations through that media at the very bottom of the first page at the homepage of our website. You can go there and give your donations. Thank you for your generosity and your contributions. I do want to announce that we're going to have a church council meeting this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. If you're able to attend, if you're uncomfortable attending, we can figure out a way maybe to get you involved via, a conference call or something. So 6 o'clock this Wednesday. I'm encouraged by this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, or never fade. Amen.
Acts 2:24, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him, lo, in the grave.
Christ arose, he rose a victor from
Amen. He did rise again. Speaking of that, shout out to the choir. Choir, I'm missing you today. This is one of the songs that we rehearsed, and we will do it again, but I thought we needed it done today. It's called Resurrecting. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. Amen.
Yeah.
more song before Pastor Lanny comes up. I had to admit, this was not the way I was going to do this song, but sometimes God moves in mysterious ways. Hope you enjoy this one. Pam, this one's for you. You requested this song. The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, His blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon Him. The song is called Forever.
Alive.
He is alive. Brother. Pastor Lanning.
Well, amen. Good to see you. And even though we're meeting in an odd situation, and you're there perhaps on your couch or in your living room watching this, and we surely do appreciate you doing that. We're getting a lot of spots where folks are connecting to us, and we really do appreciate it. Couple of words of announcement. Tim has already mentioned one of these. We're going to meet Wednesday night, if you're a part of the church council, in the gym, and we'll be spread out in a good fashion that you shouldn't have to worry about contact. We'll have some hand sanitizers there for you. And anyway, if you can come, good. If you don't feel comfortable with that, well, don't come. Also on Thursday night, deacons meeting, and we'll also meet in the gym, and that'll be at 7 o'clock on Thursday evening. And the same way, if you can come, good. If you can't, that's good also. So we'll try to make those contacts with you at home. Some of you will not be able to identify with this, but years ago when Gwen and I were in college, we'd drive back from the church on Sunday night back to school. We'd listen to a radio station, and it was the Mull Singing Convention. Most of you don't remember that. But before that went off the air, Jay Basil, the Mr. Mull, would say, "Keep those cards and letters coming." And you could figure what was in those cards and letters. Keep him on the radio station. So we're grateful for your giving. And so keep those cards and letters coming. We're thankful for that. We also have a way for you to give online now. And I appreciate those folks that have made that available for us. So if you'd like to give that way, that would be good. And if you want to mail that in, that would be good also. We're just so appreciative of those. We've been able to keep the ministry rolling in a good way, and we're thankful for that. The giving is staying up there where it needs to be, and we're thankful. Amen. When this is all over, if it's ever all over, I think it will be, but we're going to have an Easter service. We're going to have a celebration of the resurrection again, and give our choir an opportunity to sing, give our kids an opportunity to hunt Easter eggs, and for everyone to dress up and come to church in Easter style. And we can look forward to that, but we'll plan that in the future. But sometime in the future, we're going to be able to have sunrise service, eat breakfast together, and be back to what we would have done today had this been Easter. One of the things that I mentioned to Gwen this week about Easter, I said, you know, even though the coronavirus has kept all of us in our houses, it has not kept nature from celebrating the resurrection. I mean, it is everywhere. The dogwoods are in huge bloom here in the Ozarks, and the red buds are in full blossom. The grass is growing. The leaves are coming on the trees like crazy, and everything has turned green. So they're celebrating the resurrection, and that's what we're going to do today, is celebrate the resurrection. One thing I want to mention to you, that in times of pressure, whatever is on the inside comes to the outside. So it shouldn't surprise us that folks that think evil in their heart, that's going to come out when pressure is applied. And also those that have a good heart, want to do stuff for folks, want to share, that's going to come out also. So you and I are appointed to do that which is right, no matter what the world is doing. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew, the 28th chapter. And let's start with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now you know that they did not roll the stone back. The angels did not roll the stone back for Jesus to get out. He was already out. They roll the stone back for folks to be able to see, for me and you to be able to see that Jesus had risen from the dead. It's talking about the angel here, and it says his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye. There it is again. Have you noticed that? How often when the Lord sends a message, it's to not be afraid. Don't fear. I've got it. Don't be afraid. Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, and that's good news. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I've told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. And did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Here it is again. Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren, they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if there come to the governor's ears, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. And they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Father, as we come before your throne of grace and mercy today, Lord, we pray for our church. We just pray, Lord, that you would keep us close together as a church fellowship. Lord, we pray for those that are sick in our country, in our state, our nation, all over the world. We pray for your healing, Lord, to be upon these. And we pray for the doctors and the nurses as they tend to these folks. We pray, Lord, for those that are searching for an answer, for those that are searching for some kind of serum that would cure this coronavirus. We pray that you'd give them wisdom and knowledge and help them find that. We pray, Lord, for the families of those that have lost loved ones. Lord, we pray that you'd comfort them as only you can. Lord, that they may seek you. We pray that you would guide and direct our steps. Lord, I pray that you would anoint my thoughts and my tongue as I preach today. This message would be of you and not of me. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want us to look, first of all, at the doctrine of the resurrection. In John, the 11th chapter, in verse 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." So what is this doctrine that you and I believe as Christians of the resurrection? And how important is it to the Christian life that you and I make this a big event in our lives and in the life of other people who are Christians? First of all, the doctrine of the resurrection secures your forgiveness and my forgiveness. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, I want you to look with me, first of all, at verse 12. Now, I have this a little different in the notes, but I want you to look with me first at verse 12. "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" And then Paul, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, he begins to talk about the importance of the resurrection in the Christian's life. And he says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. We're meeting for nothing, if that's the truth. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." Our loved ones that have passed away, that's the end. It's a zero, nothing. But verse 19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." But that's not the truth. This is what the Bible says. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." When Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, the Lord talks about his purpose and his life. And really, he has this same purpose in your life and in mine. He has this same purpose in the life of all Christians. We just read it in Matthew 28. He said to the disciples, he gave them the Great Commission. And he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." He said, "Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world." Now that commission is my commission and your commission also. And we start that in our own home, in our own community. And then we reach out to an outer circle and to those that we work with. And then we go into all the world. When you make a contribution to Osage Baptist Church, you're sending the gospel all over the world. You're supporting a missionary in the deepest, darkest places of the world. In Acts 26 and verse 18, the Lord is speaking to Paul here, and he is saying, this is the purpose. This is the purpose. And he says in verse 18, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's His purpose for your life and His purpose for my life. It's the purpose for all the world. I don't believe that God sends bad things into the world. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. But we know that we live in a fallen world, and because of that, we're going to have disease and disaster. But I believe God's purpose in it is that men and women and boys and girls would turn to Christ. That they would be turned, and that the light would come on, and they would be turned from the power of Satan unto God, and that they would receive forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among us. To have an inheritance among us. That's a great promise. There's great power in His resurrection. Probably one of the greatest powers that you and I know of is the atomic bomb. We know what kind of destruction that can do. That it can literally melt the flesh off an individual. That it can just explode buildings just on and on and on. And destruction is indescribable that takes place because of the atomic bomb. Probably one of the most powerful things that we know of. But it can't bring life. It can't bring the resurrection. It can't bring someone who is dead back to life. And so Paul is talking here in the book of Philippians about a power that is greater than that. So look with me over in the book of Philippians, the third chapter and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And when we look at this word knowledge, it's more than just something that we can know. It's more than knowing here. It's an experiential know. I know Him experientially. I've experienced Him. I've been born again. I know Him as my personal Savior. I've had Him heal my body. I've had Him direct my path. I've had Him to speak to my heart in the deepest and darkest times of my life. And Paul is talking about knowing Him in such a personal way. And he says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I might know Him, and here's the word again, that I might know Him, that I might experience Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ, that I might get a hold of Him like He has a hold of me. And brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here Paul says, I haven't reached it yet, but I'm reaching for it. I'm reaching for it. And I think that is true in the life of every Christian, that we're reaching for that relationship, for that fellowship with Him, that we would experience the power of the resurrection in our lives. The power to live the Christian life. Our Christian walk is by the power that raised Christ from the dead, according to Romans, the 6th chapter. And I'd like for you to turn to that with me, Romans 6, and look down at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, this is a mathematical term here. It's like you take your checkbook and you reconcile it. You reckon that this is how it is. And when you get to the end of the figuring, what you have is what you have. Where do I get to? Verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I cannot live the Christian life without it, without the power of the resurrection. That's powerful. That's powerful. There's a great earthquake. I don't know if that had to do with the power that raised Jesus from the dead or what, but there was a great earthquake that took place during that time. The angels rolled back the stone. The men became as dead men. The guards became as dead men. And I worked on this message, you know, every gospel tells a story painted in a little different way. I thought what I would like to do is start at Matthew and just preach all the way through John, all the different details of the resurrection and how great that is. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary that were going to the sepulcher early at sunrise. Well, actually, it hadn't come up yet. Before daylight, they were taking the spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Because they didn't have it. They didn't get it yet that He was going to rise from the dead, even the disciples. Why weren't the disciples gathered around the tomb waiting for Him to come out? They were hiding in their houses. They weren't expecting Him to rise, and they didn't get the scripture until later on. In Romans 4 and verse 25, He was raised for our justification. That's a great verse. He was raised for our justification. Now, I know that there's a lot of different terms for justification. A lot of people give a different description of that, definition of it. He was raised for our justification. I like this one. Just as if I had not sinned. Just as if I hadn't. So the result of that, according to Romans 5 and 1 and 2, the results of His resurrection from the dead is our justification, because He rose from the dead. We are justified. And we are going to rise ourselves. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. The graves are going to open up. And you'd say, now, Brother Lanny, that those folks been in the grave a long time. Well, they're going to get a new body. They're going to be raised. And then the church is going to be raptured. And the Bible says that we'll meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a celebration to celebrate a risen Savior. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior. Waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. And by the way, he's still in charge. He still has the victory. Doesn't matter what people say. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, we read that. Jesus, my Savior, vainly they sealed the dead, they sealed the tomb. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph o'er his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. Death cannot keep his prey. Oh, I like that line. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph o'er his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Let me ask you about your relationship with Christ in your own life. Mike is going to come and we're going to give you an invitation to accept Christ as your Savior. By the way, I sure appreciate our musicians coming and helping us with this and these tech guys coming. We could not do it. There was no way that I could do it without all this help. Thank you all for coming. Now, I want to be really personal with you this morning. You're watching this video, perhaps with your family, perhaps by yourself. And there's never been a time in your life that you have asked Jesus to come into your heart to be your Savior. Well, you've heard the gospel this morning. Jesus has died on the cross for your sin. He was buried in the grave. And on the third day he arose so that you could have eternal life. And folks, he's alive and well today. The songwriter said he walks with me, he talks with me. He hears my care. He knows what's in my heart. And he loves me beyond anything I can possibly imagine. And there is not anything that you could have done in your life that would keep Jesus from saving your soul. You'd say, oh, I've been too bad. I've done too many things. Hey, get in line behind me. There is not anything in your life that would keep Jesus from saving your soul. What you must do is humble yourself and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart, and be your Savior. Does that not sound simple to you? Does that not sound easy? Well, it couldn't be that easy. Oh, yes, it is. It took Jesus dying on the cross. It was a big price that he paid for you. Some of you guys and gals, if I said, well, if you had to do some kind of extreme thing to save your soul, well, you'd be willing to try to do that. But would you just simply humble your heart before God today and ask him to come into your heart and be your Savior? He loves you beyond anything that you can possibly imagine. Would you pray this prayer? Maybe it's you and your family. Maybe it's you and your wife. Would you just reach and grab a hold of the hand of that family member that's sitting next to you? And if you have not invited Christ into your heart as personal Savior, would you do that today, right now? Just scoot things back. Get on your knees there in front of your couch or your chair, wherever you're at, and ask Jesus into your heart. If you are already a Christian, you're watching this video and you're already a Christian, you've already received Christ as your Savior, would you pray for those folks that have not yet been saved, that have not yet received Him as Savior? Then those of you that are not a Christian, would you pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, and say it out loud, please. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and lost. Say that out loud. I know that I'm a sinner and lost. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, and be my Savior. Right now, I give you my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, I'm going to give you my own cell number, but there's some cell numbers on our website that you would be able to call. Our staff would be thrilled to hear from you. But I'd like to hear from you myself. I'd like for you to call me. I'm going to give you my cell number. It's 870-391-1241. And if you've made that decision for Christ, I'd like to hear from you. And we've got some things that we could send you, some experiencing God or some material that'll help you grow as a Christian. And then when this thing is over, when this virus is over, and you're able to go to church again, you find you a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, follow the Lord in believers' baptism, get in with those folks and go to work for the Lord. Give Him your life. Be the dad that God's called you to be. Be the mom that God's called you to be. Lead those kids in the way that God would have you to. Now I want to pray for you. Father, I just want to pray for those that are watching this video and just so grateful for Easter and the resurrection. Lord, I don't know how to express it in the way it should be expressed, but it's so marvelous, so great. Lord, I pray for those families that are hurting today. Lord, there's some folks that have got problems that we can't identify with, but Lord, you can. I pray that they would turn to you with all their heart. They'd seek your face. Lord, you said in your word that if your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and seek you, turn from our wicked way, then we'd hear from heaven and you'd heal our land, forgive our sins. God, help us as a church to turn to you. Help us to repent as Christians in America and turn to you with all of our heart. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender all. I got one more song for you. I know I would probably get emails or text messages or something. Well, you didn't sing "Because He Lives." Well, guess what? We are. I don't think any good Baptist church would not do this song on Easter. Because He Lives. That's why we are here, and that's why we are serving Him. Still, the calm assurance. lives. Well, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day and Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. And God, we thank you that you rose, and God, that you are living. And we serve a risen Savior. God, we're so thankful for that. And God, just because you live, we can face tomorrow. And God, you hold the future. And God, we just put all of our faith and trust in you, that you will just navigate us through this time. And God, be with each and every individual of this church and the ones that are here and their families. God, just protect them and keep them in your care. And God, whatever their need is, God, I just pray that you would meet it, and God, that you would just work miracles in all of our lives. And God, again, we just thank you for this Easter Sunday. It's your son's holy name I pray. Amen.